everybody. Welcome to Inside the Album with Don and Tommy. I'm Don Seckler, Rocksteady. That's
nice.
Tommy like... Oyster Bay Hilken.
Come on, it says Donnie Oyster.
Donnie Oyster. Yeah, that's me. Donnie Awesome.
Donnie Awesome. Me, Tommy Oyster Bay Hilken.
Nice.
So this week, guys talking music.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are our reviews.
So this is the podcast where we take rock records, for the most part, I guess, right?
Well, legendary albums.
Legendary albums. We take albums and we tell the stories of the writing of the songs and the recording of the album and what was going on with the band and, you know, all those sort of things. And we try to have some fun and hopefully educate a little bit about the stories behind your favorite albums.
Yeah, today's just an absolute classic. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, so today we're going to be doing Bad Company by Bad Company.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a song called Bad Company on that record.
Yes, very interesting. Bad Company on the album Bad Company with the song Bad Company. There you go. That's it. Makes it easy when you think about it.
Yeah, so Inside the Album is brought to you by the Game Show Guys.
Woohoo!
So Tommy and Don are actually the Game Show Guys in real life, and what we do is we come to you in person for a team building or a charity event, and it's entertainment. We do entertainment with our amazing live and fun game show.
Yeah.
So we've got a Jeopardy-style trivia game complete with individual buzzers. It's amazing fun for everyone, so get your buzzer finger ready.
Yeah, and everybody gets an opportunity to win a gold thumb, Don.
That's
no matter
true.
What you say the rest of our lives, to you and me, nothing's more important than that gold thumb.
And there it is, the gold thumb. Everybody wants one. Check us out on social media, Game Show Guys, and you could actually win a gold thumb because we do a Tuesday trivia contest.
Yes.
But if you're looking for a team building event or you need some entertainment for your charity event, go to gameshowguys.com and you can see video of us in action and get in touch with us and we'll have a great time at your next event.
I'd like to take this time to thank our sponsors.
Who's that?
Me and you.
Me and you.
You're welcome.
We're our own grandpas.
That's it. We got no choice. If you'd like to sponsor a show,
let us know.
Andy's Hot Dogs. Hey.
Yeah. Tommy wants to give a shout out to our buddy Andy, who owns a hot dog joint here in Mount Arlington, New Jersey.
Andy's Roadside Dive. Best hot dogs in the business.
And these are not just like a hot dog with mustard, these are some crazy ass hot dogs. Check out Andy's Roadside Dive. It's super creative. The hot dogs are delicious. He uses all sorts of crazy ingredients on them. They're just amazing.
And I just like that you used crazy ass and hot dog in the same sentence.
Of course. I always, it goes without saying, right?
That's the way I go.
That's how I roll. Crazy ass hot dogs.
And you snuck roll in there. Well, we got a whole theme going on here. This is great.
I got hot dogs on the brain.
Yeah, I used to do my cholesterol through the roof.
All right, let's dive in here. We're talking about Bad Company by Bad Company.
Yeah.
And so this is a British supergroup in everybody's kind of, you know, what you read out there about they're a supergroup. So some people say, okay, so I saw somebody online say, is Led Zeppelin a supergroup? I say no, because to me... To me, a supergroup means that all your members came from other bands. They were already famous. They were already really well known. And then they formed together to make this supergroup. So Zeppelin is not really that because, I mean, Page was the only one really with any notoriety before Zeppelin, right?
Yeah, I think it's an established band who was successful. And then the band broke up and the pieces came back together as another band.
Right.
You know, right off the bat, you know, in our world and during our life, two of them were Asia and Damn Yankees, if you want to think about it.
Those guys, a little more modern ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even like Asia, I mean, they had that first record that was real popular, and then I guess they did another one after that, but I don't know if they really had any legs under them. You know, Bad Company was around for a while, and still, I mean, do they still, does Bad Company still go out, or who's left? I don't even know.
Well, you know, I think
Paul Rodgers is
naturally Paul Rodgers. So, you know, if he wanted to, he could always tour as Bad Company, and yeah, you would never know it, you know?
Right.
It's great when you're the lead singer.
Yeah, yeah, and so, that, you know, like we said, Paul Rodgers is kind of the, you know, the main dude here. He's the singer. The drummer is Simon Kirk, and Paul and Simon were both in Free, the band Free, previous to this.
There you go.
Then we have Mick Ralphs on guitar, who was with Mott the Hoople before this.
Nice.
And the bassist is Boz Burrell from King Crimson, which is interesting because King Crimson is so out there in terms of, you know, so much different than like Free or Mott the Hoople, which are basically just kind of rock bands, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. That especially King Crimson, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still with us, as a matter of fact. It's a great
point. I'm not sure. So, you know, these guys started back in 74, and they were, you know, adults at that time because they had a couple albums out with other bands. I'm not sure who's still around or who's still with us.
Well, Simon Kirk is still with us. He's 74 years old.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, these are the, you know, when you think about it, they're actually the younger of the rock legends. Like they were a couple of six, 7 years, you know.
Right.
Because they're later than Zeppelin and those guys.
Yeah, their bands were late 60s, early 70s. And, right, you know, so you have like the Beatles, the Stones, Zeppelin were all kind of before this. But Peter Grant, who managed Led Zeppelin, also managed Bad Company until 1982. Mm. So there is a bit of a Led Zeppelin connection here. And they were also released on Led Zeppelin's label in the U.S. So that's kind of interesting.
Is that Swan Song?
Yes, sir.
Look at that.
So this was the debut album for Bad Company, and it was released on May 24th, 1974. So in 1974, you had some pretty good records were out. We had It's Only Rock and Roll by the Rolling Stones. Good,
nice.
Good album. I love that album. On the Beach by Neil Young, another great one. Diamond Dogs by David Bowie. Again, I think that one kind of, I don't know, is that underrated, do you think, by Bowie? I like it, but, you know, I'm not sure how popular it was.
It certainly wasn't in the height of his popularity.
Right.
No, he didn't blow up, really, till late 70s, early 80s, where he blew up. But yeah. Diamond Dogs is killer.
I love Diamond Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And then 461 Ocean Boulevard by our friend Eric Clapton was also out that year.
That was a killer album. I mean, I think everybody on the planet had an LP 461 Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah, that was classic. One you just played on repeat, right?
It was a classic.
So this album for Bad Company reached number one in the U.S., sold over 5 million copies, and it became the 46th best selling album of the 1970s.
46th.
Yep.
That's what I always find interesting. It's like, you know, what were the other 45, right?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of big albums in the 70s. We kind of talked about that. It's kind of like the rise of rock, right? When rock is really becoming mainstream. You know, in the 60s, it was more pop rock, you know, early Beatles, early Stones, very poppy stuff. And then in the 70s, it started to that real kind of classic rock sound really came together for a lot of bands.
Yeah, that's the word. Classic rock before it was classic. This is when this music became classic rock, and it has its own category. And like we just said, if there's 45 greater albums than this, man, no wonder we always said we had the best generation of music, really. Right.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in that. I think there's a lot of stuff out today that's kind of underrated, but that's a discussion for another podcast. That's a discussion for the Green in Morristown.
when you have a younger co-host. I'm stuck in the 70s.
Yeah. Younger. All right, so we'll take a look at the album cover here. And to me, you know, it's kind of meh. It's just the words Bad Co, you know, black on white. I mean, white on black. You know, it's easily recognizable because it's so big, so you can't miss it. I guess that's important in the record store. But there's no, you know, it has some design to it, but to me, it's not very exciting.
It's kind of interesting, right? We said it's the first album. So,
yeah.
You know, what's budget, all that kind of stuff, right? When you, but back in those days, album covers and album designs were so huge. But, you know, we talked about this, you and I, that, you know, it is an iconic album cover, just the way it is.
Right.
It really is.
And maybe I'm being too harsh on it. That's kind of a style too, right? So it's kind of a minimalist style.
Right.
It's very simple, straightforward, you know, but it doesn't excite me. I like the creative albums where there's, you know, it's kind of interesting and there's something like more behind it than what you just see there, you know?
Well, someday we should cover the album art. That would be a nice talk someday.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
All right. So contrary to speculation that Paul Rodgers named the band after the Jeff Bridges film called Bad Company, Rodgers stated that the idea came from a book of Victorian morals that showed a picture of an innocent child looking up at an unsavory character leaning against a lamp post. And the caption read, "Beware of bad company."
I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird and creepy, right?
Well, creepy, that's how they advertise. Stay away from, you know, creepy people.
yeah, right, exactly. And the album was recorded at Headley Grange, Hampshire, in Ronnie Lane's mobile studio, which was used by a lot of bands back then.
Ronnie Lane, God bless him.
Yep. All right, let's dive right in. Let's get into a little Bad Company here. We'll start off with the opener. This one is Can't Get Enough.
Wow.
One of my favorite things about Bad Company, just in general, is these songs are all very simple and straightforward. Like there's no bullshit here, right? I can't say that. What does it say?
Yeah, I just say I'm with you. I wrote down, you know, simple rock and roll, the beat, everything about it, the drum just hanging out, bringing you along. Yep.
But you're singing along with it immediately, right? It's very catchy, you know, it's very good.
Yeah.
But it's basic. It's not, there's nothing complicated. This isn't, you know, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, you know, even The Who with the Tommy and all the operatic, you know, all the craziness going on in some of those Who records. So I appreciate that. And you know what? It's one of those bands that gets played a lot by cover bands because it's so simple. I mean, when I was in bands in high school and college, we played a bunch of these songs because like, it's like, okay, bam, we can knock this out in 5 minutes. We can be playing it, you know, like just like Bad Company. And it was no problem.
And you know what? He's one of the rare guys, and it happens every now and then where like Paul Rodgers, his voice is an instrument.
Yeah.
he's that good. You know, his voice is that, it's like perfect for rock and roll.
Right. It just fits in. It's not, it's not like he's not a spectacular, like he's not hitting spectacular high notes. He's not, you know, doing crazy, you know, runs like, you know, some of the R&B singers and stuff like that. But it just fits so well with what they're doing.
Terrific voice. And this is where, like, first got introduced to the power chords, right?
Right.
Not much to it.
Right.
You know? The best. Yeah.
And that's the lot like, you know, there was a bit of that in Mott the Hoople and Free. You know, you can see the roots coming through from where these guys came from.
It's awesome. You know, and when you think about this, you know, like Bad Company, certainly one of those groups, and we talk about classic albums, that when you hear it, you could hear that chord and know it's Bad Company.
Right.
Every song you hear, you know it's Bad Company. There's no wondering who's doing this song. That's one thing about the band. They had a distinct sound that was theirs.
Yeah, but think about the guy who's from King Crimson, how different this is for him. Right? King Crimson is all these crazy rhythms and
he's sitting back smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, right. He's like playing with one hand, right?
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, great. That's funny. Yeah, come on. Can we step it up a bit, fellas? What? This is how, listen, who got more airtime? King Crimson or Bad Company?
Yeah, wow. I was never into King Crimson. I know, you know, I don't know if I'm not smart enough to understand it, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Yeah. So this was Can't Get Enough was both the first and the highest charting single released by Bad Company.
Wow.
And it was written by Mick Ralphs, and he wrote it when he was still with Mott the Hoople. But the band, Mott the Hoople, or the record company rejected it. So when he joined Bad Company, they were like, hey, we have a great song. We'll record it. They don't want to do it. We'll do it.
Yeah, we got a song.
Because you would think that song would, like, it could fit with Mott the Hoople real easily, I would think, right?
Well, you can hear Ian Hunt to do it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you could. Well, you know what? Back in those days, it was who was the songwriter, who was bringing song. Yeah, it was a
It might have been a little battle, right, internally.
Well, I'm sure. They broke up.
Yeah. All right. So this was recorded. Yeah, this was recorded in that, like we said, the Ronnie Lane mobile studio. And Lane had also leased it out to other artists, and including The Who, Quadrophenia was recorded there, parts of it. And Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti.
There's a couple albums we could cover.
Yeah, definitely. And those ones are a little bit more, like, there's a lot going on in both of those records, right?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, so this
song kind of, I think a lot of what they liked was that the song introduced the band with the sound of Simon Kirk counting in and then blasting those two beats to start off. And so this happened for a practical reason. So they were in this country house and they were recording it was one of the first songs they did, and the drums were in the basement. The bass player was in the boiler room. Mick Ralphs and Paul Rodgers were up in the main living room where the guitars and the amps were. So in order to get their attention, because they couldn't see each other, he did the count, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and then boom, to get them, so they knew to start the song because they were recording in all these different places.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, came together well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's jump over to track number 2. Again, another great song. This one is Rock Steady. There we go.
I got
Again, so just so straightforward, right? I love that even though they're like these songs are basic, super basic, right? But it's just amazing how well they come together.
Everything about it. And you know, when I think about it, what popped into my head on this song is that these are the songs that when you were young, you just blast. You blast them. Your stereo's cranking. You know, it's just,
you had your windows down. You're rolling past the high school.
There you go. I still do that. But
he's joking. If any law enforcement is listening, Tommy's making a joke.
Remember what we said about editing? No, but you know what I mean. It's like I love the music, and now I get it when we talk about Tommy Hilken, what he enjoys, and you know, it's the guitar riffs, man. That's why
they are good riffs.
When we get into fights with the Oyster Bay people, you know, it's because I enjoy the heavy duty guitar riffs. I always have.
Yeah,
and this album's full of them.
Yeah. Amazing, good riffs. It's great. And when you talk about riffs, you listen to that opening riff. To me, it really sounds like ZZ Top.
Wow.
Yep. Right?
I got you. Yep.
It's kind of that, you know, it's that kind of home, you know, that kind of thing that they do, that Texas sound that ZZ Top has, which is amazing because these are all British guys.
Yep.
You know,
that's a good, you know, that's interesting when that riff you're talking about, I'm trying to think of, you know, when ZZ Top came around and when that lick was. I know what you're talking about.
ZZ Top's been around a long time. I think I want to say early 70s, late 60s, even.
Yeah, well,
I have to look that up, but.
Well, I do know that Billy Gibbons hung out with Jimi Hendrix a lot.
Okay, so that so then they were around in the late 60s. They had to be.
Yeah.
So, Bad Company's beginnings are really connected to the initial breakup of Free, because Free broke up in 1971. Mm. So later that year, Paul Rodgers had a band called Peace, and they were opening for Mott the Hoople. And Paul and Mick Ralphs met backstage and started sharing some musical ideas. And so Rodgers was singing and playing bits of rock steady while Mick Ralphs played a song he suggested to Mott, which was Can't Get Enough, but Ian Hunter felt like he couldn't sing Can't Get Enough really well, so that's why they didn't do it. But then Rodgers immediately recognized that, you know, the sound of rock steady with Mick Ralphs playing was going to be a huge hit. So that's where this all came out of.
Fantastic, great song, man. By the way, ZZ Top, 1969.
Okay, there you go. That makes sense.
Yep.
So I was pretty close.
Yep.
Roger said he taught the band Rocksteady during the recording. Again, these songs are super straightforward, easy for these guys to pick up and learn very quickly. Mm. You know, they're all pros. The backup vocals were Boz's idea, and there's a story behind each song, and everybody contributed. So Paul Rodgers said that they were committed to the music. They were a committed music unit going into the studio. So it was like everybody was on the same page, and they said it was a really good feeling for them.
Yeah, that's a great when a band comes together, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Only good things can happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, good stuff.
All right, so let's move on to track number 3. And this one is called Ready for Love.
Walking down this rocky road, wondering where my life is leading, rolling on to the bitter end. Finding out along the way what it takes to keep love living. You should know. Yeah.
So this one, I, you know, and you talked about Paul Rodgers' voice being so good, and this, I think, is one of the tracks where you really hear it, right?
Wow, this is kind of like he is the song on this one.
Yeah, yeah. And the guitars, while they're heavy, they're not like overwhelming, right? It doesn't go, you know, it's still kind of down here, like, you know, it's still, the vocals here on this song are still kind of the feature.
Now you can hear it. They really brought the vocals up front on this.
Yes. Yeah. Great song. And this one was written by Mick Ralphs, who originally recorded it with Mott, the Hoople, and then they redid it with Bad Company.
Wow. Yeah. Nice little nugget.
Yeah, and I've never heard the Mott the Hoople version. I wonder.
You know what? I will check that out today.
yeah. So Rolling Stone critic Bud Scopa said that Bad Company's version of Ready for Love has the measured, somber gait of a free song in the verses, with the explosions and accumulated tension in the choruses.
Wow.
And I get that, but it doesn't, like, it doesn't explode, right? It's still, he still maintains that it's kind of like a medium level song, you know? It doesn't get crazy. It doesn't sound like Guns N' Roses or something like that, where it gets like da 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 da.
That, you know, that this is amazing. This is why I love doing this. You know, here we are chatting. I had no idea that it was a Mott the Hoople song. 6 minutes and 46 seconds of Mott the Hoople doing Same. "Ready for Love."
Yeah. Even Tommy learns from inside the album.
Oh, listen, I'm just a basic guy
from Oyster Bay.
No, never.
Nobody in Long Island's going to listen to us anymore.
All right, right now I'd like to say goodbye to both of you. We're not building haters, are we?
What's that?
We're not building haters, are we?
I don't know, maybe. Who cares?
Listen, look at us.
So critic Matt Wardlaw said that the Bad Company version is a touch more moody than the original, which has an extra bit of swagger. Now I really want to hear it.
He
praised Paul Rodgers' lead vocals, saying they walk with the shackles of a man who's been denied what he wants for way too long. And you do get that. You do get that vibe. He's very good at that, right, Paul Rodgers?
Yeah, he sings like he's shackled and singing. I agree. No, he took it to another level, which is great, right? If you're going to redo a song, make it yours.
Well, yeah, you got to change it up. Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, tempo, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Vocal tone, whatever, yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, you don't want to just recopy it. It's already been done that way.
And it's happened.
All right. Yes, it happens a lot. So let's move on to track number 4. This one is Don't Let Me Down.
I had a love that was so true, and I wouldn't have to make do with the half of love that I have found that is tearing me down to the ground. Don't let me die.
So this one, to me, you know, this is a lot different, right, than the rest of the record. Sure. Because they, you know, first of all, they've put the piano is up front, the guitar is back here, you know, so now it's a whole different vibe. Same kind of chords, though, on the piano is what they would play with the guitar.
Yeah.
But to me, it sounds like an R&B ballad almost. You got there's a chorus in the background, you know, there's singers in the background. It sounds a little bit R&B-ish, which is interesting.
I was going to ask you, you know, to me, it took me to gospel.
Right. Gospel, yeah. R&B. Yep. Yeah. Gospel's probably that's probably a closer.
If somebody had a gospel background or just, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, superstars always had, you know, the black music and the blues and gospel. Yeah. That was a driving force in their life because that's all they heard. Well, so I wonder,
Yeah, and they loved America, right? All the British guys loved the American musicians. They loved the American blues guys, the American gospel singers. And it's all part of, you know, what made them what they are, you know? So it's part of how they got there, really.
Yeah. And in this song, I hear this leading into Running with the Pack. One of their albums, one of their songs, Running with the Pack. It's the same kind of build up. Running with the Pack.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of connecting here where Bad Company's coming together as a band.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, they definitely have a sound. So it's you know, and you often see this where a band, no matter what they do, they kind of sound the same, sort of, you know? So you see repetitions in how songs sound over different albums sometimes.
And I wrote down here, I was just going to say, yeah, this is great live music.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? It's like when Bad Company plays live, you get one of those shows, which is always enjoyable. It's like a greatest hits show live, you know, like every song you're like, oh, you know? That's one thing about them. They have some catalog of hits.
And they did have, you know, they had, I don't know how many albums total they did. It wasn't that many though, right? I mean, they did a bunch in the 70s and then they had a couple in the 80s, right? I'm not sure exactly. But they did have, every album had hits on it. That was the thing about this band. They always produced popular songs.
And that's funny. It's now that I think about it, you know, sometimes I'm uncomfortable. Like when we were discussing Billy Joel, I was saying all the radio music, but Bad Company had a lot of radio hits.
Yeah. It was definitely radio friendly for sure. You know,
to
this day, you still hear Bad Company on classic rock radio.
Oh, all the time, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's dive into the next one. This is track number 5. This is Bad Company by Bad Company.
Yeah.
Bad Company.
I can hear them say,
So another great, great track. That's just a classic rock song, and you know, a classic rock song, right?
You wanted to play that all the way through, didn't you?
I did. I wanted to let it go all the way through.
Yes, you did. So good. Great tune. Just great. Makes you happy. And let me tell you, when you got a lead singer like Paul Rodgers, you stay with the band.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting, you know, it's interesting that these guys are probably most famous for being in Bad Company and not for being in Free or Mama right. Hoople or King right. Crimson or whatever.
Right.
But Paul Rodgers said that he decided to go with a song with the same name as the band because he thought that it had never really been done as far as he knew before. So he thought it was interesting to come out with a brand new band with its own kind of theme song. So that's interesting, right? I mean, it's kind of brave to go ahead and do something that's unusual like this, where you have the band and the name of the band, the name of the record, and the name of the song are all exactly the same. I mean, you know, that's people could go, oh, that's a little weird, but you gotta have some guts to go ahead and break ground like that.
Yeah, well, what made it work is that the song is good. If you just did it and the song wasn't over the top, it kind of be like, well, what did you do? Just throw that in there?
Yeah, if the song sucked, that would be awful.
That would be awful. Like, you know, why'd you do that? Yeah.
So to get the haunting sound on this track, Paul Rodgers recorded his vocals in the still of the night in the middle of a field under the moonlight. It took about 3 hours to set it up with wires and leads. So they're running all this stuff out because back then there's no wireless anything. Everything's plugged in, right?
Yeah. Running extension cords.
Yeah, but he got this all set up outside somewhere, and he said that when the time came, they just did it in one take, which is amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing is right.
Yeah, so Simon Kirk and Paul Rodgers are credited with the writers as the writers on the song. According to Simon Kirk, it was written at about 10 minutes. He said, when Bad Company was first formed, we had a period of time when there were only three solid members. It was 5-6 months before we got a bass player. So we had Bad Company as a working title. It wasn't cast in stone. That was going to be the name. And Paul was playing around on the piano, came up with these three chords, and they came up with the song, and they said, all right, that's going to be the band name now, too.
Just three chords. You know, and I was mentioning, I want to throw it out to you, Bad Company did 12 studio albums.
Okay.
But I said to you how much they're great live. They put out 6 live albums.
Huh. Wow.
So they must have thought the same thing, that the music's so good live, we might as well get it, because they put out, that's a lot of live albums for one band.
It is, and especially back then, there was no sanctioned like bootlegs. Like today, you have bands like Metallica, Pearl Jam. These bands release every show they do. They record it and release it as a bootleg from the band, so you can buy the actual show from the band. You know, they're usually like cheap, $10 or something. But that wasn't done back then because they didn't have the process to, you know, create these live records so quickly like they do today.
Yeah, back in the day, you'd have to connect with somebody on the soundboard.
Yeah, right, to get a bootleg.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can still try that. I still talk to the guys every time I press the sound. Oh, yeah. Because now you only have to put in a little drive, you know, a thumb drive. Right? Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I didn't know you were out there bootlegging shit.
No, you know, I some of the greatest music I got was I had somebody had a tape recorder on their ankle during a Clapton show. He recorded the whole thing.
From his ankle?
He had a microphone on his ankle, and he stuck his leg out towards the stage. So it was strapped inside his body and all the way around.
His leg up the whole time?
And he just said, no, he had it on on the armrest on the air. And he just sat there the whole time. And I was like, wow, this guy's recorded.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So Paul Rodgers said that you wrote the song with a Western feel, almost biblical kind of promised land, kind of lawlessness feel to it. Mm-hmm. And then the name backed it up in a lot of respects, he thought. So I could see that.
They did well.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to number six. This track is called The Way I Choose. This is kind of my least favorite on the album. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, what I got from it is, you can see somebody, you were talking earlier, now you said R&B. So yeah. This is not less gospel, more R&B.
Right. That's what I was going to say too, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking somebody, even the guitar riffs, right, are all R&B. And I was thinking of how it would sound if like Sam and Dave were singing this song. And you can see it. It's solid.
It could be a great soul song, right? Yeah,
yep.
I could see that.
Yeah, back and forth with Sam and Dave. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's not awful. It's the one out on the record that I usually would skip. So,
yep, it's different. Yeah. But again, outstanding voice, you know, and guitar work is, you know, it's different than the rest of the album, which makes it, you know, listenable. That it's like, wow, this sounds so much different than Bad Company.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next track. This one's number seven, and this is Moving On. This is another song that Mick Ralphs brought with him to the band.
Okay.
It was written by Mick and was first released as a single by a band called Hackensack in 1972.
Hackensack. Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if they got a Cadillac. Ack, ack.
Ack, ack, ack.
And that one with the Billy Joel song is Moving Out, and this is Moving On.
Just stop making fun
big,
of Billy Joel.
Big connections between Billy Joel and Bad Company.
I'm getting the Moving, the Yak song.
It's right there. You just right in front of your face. Oh. You just got to see it.
Yeah, let me, you know, I hear a little Who influence on the beginning of this song.
Definitely. Yeah. I like that. And I also hear in the guitar, it sounds like kind of Keith Richards-y guitar, right? Go. It's a lot of slash, boom, chink, boom, you know, it's a lot of slashing type of playing, which is the Keith Richards style. So it's interesting. It actually, this song was very popular, reached number 19 on the U.S. singles chart. And to me, it's really got kind of a blues boogie vibe to it. And maybe that's where I'm getting kind of the Keith Richards type of thing, right?
Yeah, it's at best, it's simple. It's rock and roll. It really is. It's a typical rock and roll song. Let's drive through the song. You know, keep the rhythm, keep the beat. Yeah, very, very interesting. And again, what I noticed was Bad Company was very, very big in the U.S.,
right,
and they were more popular here than they were anywhere else, which was interesting. But I guess we like that rock and roll kind of music, you know, the chords.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right, let's move on to the album closer. Again, another one I'm not a huge fan of, but we'll listen to it anyway. This one is called Seagull.
Seagull, you fly across the horizon into the misty morning sun. Nobody asks you where you are going. Nobody knows where you're from. Here is a man asking the question, is this really the end of the world? Seagull, you must have known for a long time the shape of things to come. Now you fly through the sky.
Poor seagull, you fly through the sky until somebody shoots you down.
Well, it's because he's taking everybody's cheese doodles off the beach.
So, you know, so Paul Rodgers said that he said every song that we've done has its own story. Seagull was written sitting on the beach. Music is about atmosphere. The best way to create atmosphere is actually be there. So you don't have to imagine it. It's right there. With Seagull, you could see the horizon. You could include that in the songs. And, you know, he said that's what writing songs is all about, creating mood and atmosphere. And this does that. And it, to me, it doesn't really sound like Bad Company until that chorus part, you know, when you start to feel the kind of Bad Company vibe. But to me, it's okay. I'm skipping it if it comes up, though.
Well, it's interesting, you know, I'll give you my opinion on it because it's so important. You know, where would we go? I'm probably always end up on an editing floor. I got to listen in a little more.
I think you sound very, very smart, intelligent. Yeah.
You just add things in, right? You AI my voice with smart people. That's great. I heard a little Zeppelin, you know, it takes the opening.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit that, you know, and, but I have to tell you, the song itself, it's the kind of song I'd like to be sitting and seeing live in like in an auditorium.
Yeah.
You know, like literally just sitting down with the acoustic guitar, him belting it out, I think it would carry very well. You know, with the rest of the album, it's so different that it's like, I'll just listen to, you know.
Yeah, and that's good. I like when they throw in a little bit of different stuff into, you know, especially with these guys because their sound is pretty consistent. So, you know, like you were saying before, you know when you hear the riff that it's a Bad Company song.
Right.
So it's good to see them mix up something that's not so Bad Company, you know, get something a little bit different in there and, you know.
So. Once again, great band, great album, great fun. You know, these it brings me back to, you know, where I was when I did, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So that's Bad Company by Bad Company.
Wow.
Bless you. It's hay fever season.
I think I'm allergic to seagulls. Wouldn't that be great? All right. Donnie, boy, nice job, man.
Yeah. Great album. Thanks, everybody, for listening, watching. You can catch us on Spotify. We have video on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. But if you want to see our gorgeous faces, check us out on YouTube. And subscribe. If you watch us on YouTube, hit that button. Smash that like button.
Whoa. Donnie going new school.
New school.
Smash it.
Smash it, baby. Yeah. All right, we'll see you next time on Inside the Album.
Bye, guys.